Good morning. Today is Tuesday. St. Patty's Day. Did I even think about that? I guess I come from the blue or red side of Ireland. I wonder if that's Protestant or Catholic colors. Yeah, I think. Well, hey, we've got green water. Cans of water. Sorry, not green water. Joining us this morning is Jana Valakovic from 4-H and the UC Extension out at Spruce Point. And you brought along a buddy.
I did. Good morning.
Good morning.
I brought along my colleague, Darina Espinosa.
Good morning, all.
Did you warn her about how we do this show?
Some of it.
The pause indicates, uh-oh.
I may have stepped into something unaware.
You ag folks are used to stepping in things, so it's probably not that big a deal. Yeah. I'm thinking of mud puddles here.
Right.
Were you there too?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good, good.
No, yes. No.
All right, why do we say that? Are you ready?
Okay.
Your choice, either ordeal or ostracize.
Ostracize.
All right. Why do we say a person who's kept out of a group is ostracized? That almost blends into the topic you wanted to talk about, doesn't it?
Wow. You awesome. Definitely didn't warn me about this approach here.
This is where we feel inadequate for a moment, laugh a little bit. He establishes that we really are
no, there's
not
no dominant thing. We're all, I mean,
we're all in it together.
No, if I knew this.
So there's got to be a route to ostrich,
yes.
Right? And so it must be about outside. So we must ostracize people, which means we separate people. So is there an animal behavior connection to this?
No, it's a Greek connection.
Mm, yeah.
The word comes from Greek ostrakon, meaning a tile. T-I-L-E. It was a custom in ancient Greece to send into exile for 5 or 10 years a person whose power or influence was considered dangerous to the state. This decree of banishment was effected by taking a vote of the question, and the voting was done with tiles on which the person's name was written.
Shaming as well.
Well, maybe
as
being thrown outside or being taken outside is the outside part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yep.
And you missed out on ovation.
Oh, I did miss out on
so
ovation.
So close.
Man.
Yes. How's life treating you guys?
Life's pretty interesting, just like it is for everybody else.
Yeah.
Personal front, got kids at home. On the professional front, trying to figure out how to keep our happiness factor up and figure out how we do business differently and more effectively, perhaps. And
yeah.
And figure out how we can serve the public in a way that maybe we hadn't thought about.
A little bit different. Yeah.
Quite a bit different.
Well, you know, and I suppose that's part of it also, Darina, is it different? Is it degrees of the same?
Well,
and then how do you internalize that
right.
so that it's not, you know, panic, it's actually kind of maybe exciting to a certain extent.
It is, because there's opportunities to do activities within our communities that we're not necessarily used to doing. And that's staying home with kiddos, doing activities with the kiddos, going out for walks, and not ostracizing our neighbors.
Yeah, kind of golden rule stuff, you know, the basics kind of thing, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's about figuring out what's important. I think our personal family conversation has been a lot about what's important right now and how do we take care of each other. But yet we, you know, live in a world in which, you know, we're community servants and education is our game. And so how do we continue?
Now, the schools keep everybody at home in a way.
Right.
Well, that's, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is that kind of the mantra that's being adopted by either the UC or by the extension program?
No, it's direct. Direct requirements coming from Janet Napolitano, who's the president of the University of California.
We knew that's where she ended up.
Right. So we have directives to limit, you know, face-to-face engagement, but to figure out how to do it in different ways. Limit or eliminate? Limit face-to-face engagement, but for a period of time. But what that's doing for us is, you know, because we convene groups, we do direct education with youth, you know, how do we provide that continuity of service yet in a new format? And so maybe I'll speak to it from the professional technical level. Like, I have a workshop, day and a half long workshop that's coming at the end of April. I'm continuing to advertise. on the chance that our restrictions will be lifted by then and we'll be through this. But if it not, then I think we will go to a combination of recorded programs. So I'll take all the speakers for a day and a half, pre-record all of their talks, and then create on the day of the event time periods where, because that's a lot of speakers, there'll be sort of blocks of time where you can live call in and have a chat session with the speakers.
So like a Q&A after
you see. Because you can't sit through a day and a half online. That's ridiculous. But the opportunity in this is that we will now record the talks in a way that would have been only a one-shot effort in the live session. So this will have some posterity
archiving. Yeah.
And in the thought that a lot of people are more isolated right now and are hungry for content, hungry for fresh content, and hungry for, you know, new information that's out of the depressive topics that has been dominating our news airwaves, we might get more engagement at some level, and we might get a broader reach out of what we're doing. So,
I wonder if you might be able to like partner with some of the schools that have an ag program, for example, if this is ag related.
Sure.
Say, okay, guys, you know, here's a thought, since everybody's at home and you're doing this virtual learning thing, here's a special password or whatever you need, be able to tap into this thing, and for a day and a half.
We'll put our stuff out on our website or on our YouTube channel so that it will have some more life than it does just by coming together. I mean, we prefer interaction. That's far better. But, you know, I'm taking tutorials now on how to create more interaction online, how to use polling in the middle of presentations to keep people awake and I think create better understanding and better content delivery. So in our, you know, technical shop for professionals, we've been thinking about what do we already have that's already prepared that we can turn around and push out right now just to, you know, create more information that's fun and accessible.
Kind of sounds like a project on top of a project.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. I think we're going to work harder right now than we were anticipating.
Yes. Now, are there templates? Are others doing that kind of thing that you can kind of model this after?
Definitely through the extension, the National Extension Network, I'm getting a number of emails about how to do this kind of stuff.
Isn't Apple doing that with their convention this year instead of?
I don't know.
There was a reference.
Probably.
Yeah,
so
there was news yesterday.
There may be
that
some stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic and
Dorina Espinosa of UC Cooperative Extension.
What I was going to let her bridge it across, but okay. Jana, you indicated that there's huge opportunities that might be seen as challenges right now with some of the different aspects of what was planned. Do you see that there's going to be a structural change and that, you know, whatever it is might become the new norm, and you'll be able to do this? Because I would think archiving this stuff would be a huge resource that may have not been captured over the past.
You know, we do have some pretty good statistics that show that our pre-recorded programs do have a fair bit of use. I don't know if this is going to create a cultural change where people start to access more of our type of content online.
Or the library function of it.
Right, as opposed to the in-person event. I mean, we know that in-person events are by far the best way to learn by doing, to, you know, have
bring
the
people together.
We're right, social critters.
We are.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're trying to figure out what we can do in this space. And, for example, one of my colleagues in my office had a, I think it's a 10-day program live fire training focused specifically on women and women's leadership in the fire environment. It was in another state.
10 days?
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, critical fire training, at the last second, they finally decided that it wasn't the appropriate thing to keep bringing people together. But what they're going to do, not only are they postponing, but the time period that the team had already committed to, they're going to make sure that each of the key leaders and speakers who are going to be available that day will have an online session where everybody can get together. So they're going to create a week of camaraderie development this spring, which will then get shifted to maybe the fall when they actually can come together. And because this is so much about leadership and leadership development and finding your own place and your own voice in this, it's going to be really interesting because this group didn't know each other. They're going to come from all across the country together, but they're going to meet this spring in this electronic space with
video. Kind of as a precursor.
A precursor, yeah. Kind of speed dating and kind of think through a lot of the topics. I think by the time they get together, there's going to be so much of a higher learning opportunity because a lot of the rough stuff will have been worked out. So,
speed dating is a different topic at conventions.
It is. Yeah, it is. But it's that idea of where you meet people in a rapid environment. You start to figure out something about
kind of quick touches,
right? And yeah. and you figure out where that chemistry is and who you're excited by and who you want to identify with and
whose seminars you want to attend.
Yeah.
So, just like school.
Well, yeah.
See, bring it right back to the educational thing.
Right, and we might not sit in the same corner every day, but
right. Dorina, how about in your area?
Sure.
I would think that with the nutrition stuff, there's base level knowledge. Okay, great. You know, here's your flyers. Thank you very much. You know, when you hit the grocery store, here's what you want to look for. Okay.
Right.
But the application of the knowledge, I would think, is more critical and probably more interesting.
Absolutely. So on the nutrition side, I'll go first to our Master Food Preserver program because that's been impacted with postponing, at least for now, some of the classes that we have. We have free classes on every Thursday of the month. We call the third Thursday demonstration. And I'm thinking about is to record these opportunities of learning how to make something like yogurt or sauerkraut or kimchi, but also using those as learning opportunities. And what is fermentation? What is it that we're, why do we do this in the way that we do it under safe food handling and safe making of these particular products?
Because it tastes better than salted fish?
It tastes so much better than salted fish. And fermentation, not like your child's soccer socks, but fermentation like something that's edible. I think that there's an opportunity that we haven't created here in Humboldt County. Certainly, food preservation videos have been created in other areas. But really thinking about some specialty areas that exist here in Humboldt County, yogurt and kimchi and sauerkraut are some of those specialty areas of
yogurt in Humboldt County. What?
You meaning that our
is it the mold we have in the air?
Well, why
here?
Well, both in terms of the individual who we have in our community that is a master food preserver that makes it, as well as her start that she created, well over, I think we're looking at close to a decade ago.
So yogurt's kind of like sourdough?
So yogurt's very much like sourdough, okay. Yes. So you get a starter that's acclimated to this environment that you use for the yogurt making. So, yeah, we do have a culture that's been around for a little bit.
Culture, I got it.
and it's more like at the state level, there are, I don't know, a dozen or so Master Food Preserver programs.
We have 17 counties.
Across the state. But recognizing kind of what are our niche skills that we have in this community that we can then push out to the rest of the other Master Food Preserver programs. So that yogurt experience is reflective of kind of the key quality we have in staffing here and expertise here. So what can we share? What can we help each other with to keep everybody's program vibrant?
I would suspect, that each community has its own personality and you're going to have levels of interest that are going to be wildly divergent. How's that for a fancy word?
I guess.
If you're on the coast, seafood based, maybe in the preservation, canning tuna as an example, versus if you're in the desert, that skill set's probably not going to be as
applicable.
Yeah, and
I'm not sure we reach out to the desert. But certainly on the coast, we have interest in canning tuna, and we actually have a publication that we provide.
Yeah, I can't read tuna upside down. Give me a break.
but inland, it's canning salmon. So it's
really
it's, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
with
right.
Our tribal communities.
Yeah. Where they end up.
Right. But I mean, yeah. Across the board, pretty much everyone has an interest in jams and jellies and pickles and you know that kind
and,
of
yeah the common stuff
the common
yeah.
stuff
right right
yeah.
KINS News and Information Times 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Dorina Espinoza and Yana Valakovic. Is there something about tough names? You have to work at the extension for that?
Absolutely.
Part of the filter. Okay, good. Well, at least we're there.
Question number one.
Yeah.
Tell us your name.
And is it difficult to spell? Okay.
Throw in a couple silent letters, too, just for giggles. Yeah, it's spelled with a Z. Oh, Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Dorina, with the concept of canning, canned goods, that sort of thing, if you make your own, you kind of have a general sense of how long it's going to last because you've probably done it before.
Right. So our recommendation is about a year after you've canned your jams.
Even if you seal it up tight and everything's
even
there.
Even if you seal it up tight and everything's there. We're looking at a shelf life of about a year, whether it's tuna or asparagus or raspberry jam.
Is there any difference in the manufacturers? I know this sounds goofy. Between
yes.
ball or mason jars and
oh.
how they seal and the caps they use,
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a distinction, or is it just kind of you buy what you buy?
So canning jars, Kerr or Ball, are the same in the quality. So the prices may differ when you go to the grocery store, but the quality is the same. And then one is never to use a, say, a mayonnaise jar or a... another
the screw
jar
top
twice.
Jobs.
Yeah, that's not to be used for home canning. But the Kerr and Ball are essentially the same. But the lid versus the screw band, the lid is to only be used once. So there's a shelf life of once for canning. If you want to use it again for those can of beans that you've got in dry beans that you want to put on your shelf, that's one thing, but not for canning purposes.
Because the rubber has already been...
The seal has already been used, and... that's it. One-time use.
Run them through the wash machine before you drop them in the
boiling
no, water?
No, just warm, soapy water. And we used to say that you had to take that lid and put it in boiling water to soften up that seal. But the way they're produced now is that you don't have to put them in boiling water anymore. You can literally, after you wash it with warm, soapy water and rinse it, it's ready to go.
Really?
For the canned product.
So I don't have to burn myself?
You don't have to burn yourself.
Or what I've been mastering, since we're all masters here, is how to break the jar when you're putting it in and watching it float.
Ah, so you
does well with ketchup.
Sounds like you've been using a hot product in a cold jar. So you want to have a warm jar. Okay, so you want to warm the jars, depending on, I'm assuming you're using a research-based recipe, either from Ball canning or from the So Easy to Preserve or other reputable sources that you can find on UC Master Food Preserver website. But those two are the main sources that we use. So if you're using that recipe.
So dropping it the final 2 inches?
Well, now we're talking headspace. You got me all over the place. Let me follow up.
I think that's
up
what
with
I do with some of them is just let it kind of settle the last little bit, and all of a sudden you hear the.
I'm thinking you've got a cold jar with a hot product, so you need to keep those jars nice and warm. So when
you tried
put
to
the
save
hot
me
product,
for myself, I appreciate that.
And from the mess that you may have made on the countertop.
Oh, yeah, cleaning that up is always great fun because you got the other jars that are in the
Right,
What are some of the common mistakes that are done? Is it reusing the lid?
Well, that's an excellent question, because we actually have a publication that we do in Master Food Preserver called 10 Common Mistakes That We Use in Canning, right?
I hate the predictability. Okay, what's the number 11?
Number 11. Well, number one is using an old recipe. So we actually resist using mom's favorite recipes, because depending on where mom's favorite recipe came from, just like in other sciences, in medicine, we don't do what we did 10 years ago. So we're continually learning more as we go. And so our recommendations change based on science. And so just the same with food. So food preservation is new research based.
Using stevia or truvia instead of sugar.
Depends on the recipe. So in something called low-sugar pomona pectin recipes for jams and jellies and marmalades, you can use substitutes like honey, stevia, and others. But depending on other recipes, it's sugar only, because sugar is a preservation. So you want to make sure that you follow
the recipe. Oh, really? It's a preservative
also? It's a preservative, yep. And that's why it's such a high. Unless you're using a pomona pectin, which is low-sugar pectin. You got to use the amount of sugar that's recommended in the recipe.
I do sugar-free ketchup.
Way to go.
And I use the stevia in there.
I don't know the recipe that you're using, and I don't know
I'll share it during the break.
That'd be great.
Doesn't last a month or a year.
I might say store it in the fridge and use it very quickly. And it sounds like it's if you put it in the fridge and are using it on a short-term basis, it may be safe. But I don't know the recipe that you're using.
Vinegars and things of that nature. If you only like with the sauerkraut, is that a preservative also?
So vinegar is a preservative. Vinegar allows us to do what we call boiling water canning versus pressure canning, which scares a lot of people, because pressure canning really is a high temperature canning method.
Well, it sounds potentially explosive.
then that's a perception that's out there. But we do now have pressure canners that aren't explosive, which is how we thought of our mothers doing it or our grandmothers doing it. But with vinegar, because it changes the acidity level of the foods, we can take things like green beans or asparagus, which we would normally have to pressure can to bring the temperatures really high. We can add vinegar and call it a relish, or call it a pickled product.
Yeah, so pickling
is doing boiling water canning. So yeah, it's great. It's vinegar is great with the addition of sugar, depending on the recipe that you're using, to be able to do something like water bath canning.
So what's number two?
Number two, don't tweak the recipe. Keep the recipe
don't
the
customize
way it,
it
is. Don't add stevia instead of sugar.
What are you looking at me like that for? Yana's even giving me the look on this one.
Oh, I might be guilty of it myself.
Oh, okay. And that's not good for baked goods. That's just for canning goods.
Canning goods.
All right, good. My stolen is still safe.
Okay, good.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Yana Valakovic and Dorina Espinoza. Dorina, just kind of as walkaways, when we talk about canned products and canned foods, you said, okay, my ketchup's only good for about a year. Okay.
That's correct.
We've never tested that one. They always seem to disappear a little bit sooner than that. But for regular stuff like
the
great zucchini invasion of 2020 that'll be coming this fall.
Right.
Whatever you do, if you bake with it, that's one thing. But if you can it,
about a year.
Same with pickles.
And the deliciousness.
Everything else
is savored within a year.
So you really can't go crazy then if you have a big harvest, or you got to go next door to somebody that has a big harvest of something else and do a quick little trade out.
Well, you can vary the way that you can zucchini. You can can zucchini as a relish. You can can zucchini as a pickle. You can freeze zucchini.
Or just make a bunch of zucchini bread and
you can,
freeze
that's
it.
True. You can make, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All these ideas are going back. It's like you're sitting in a tennis match here.
I am. Well, I mean, as a home gardener, I get it.
What are the things you like to can, Yana?
I mostly do jams and jellies. Yeah. I do tomatoes, and I do pickled dilly beans as my sort of standard every day, every year. There can be some exceptions, but...
Right. Pectin, do you need it?
Yes, and you can make pectin. You can make apples have a high pectin rate, so you can make pectin using apples. You can buy low sugar pectin, that Pomona pectin. You can buy.
I love that Pomona pectin. Yeah. I love a jam or a jelly that's not too sweet. And with this recipe, you can really pull that sweetness down, and so I don't feel like I'm going to hypoglycemic shock after I've eaten my jelly.
And in working with our community, we almost always use a pectin recipe because we're also advocating for low sugar options.
Is that a preservative or is that a sugar substitute?
It's neither. It's a different type of pectin that allows you to use a lower amount of sugar.
It sets it up.
It's the function is
the setting up. And then you can decide how much sweetener
you can use.
You
honey instead of sugar, which I love to use.
So if you're sugar-free, you don't need to worry about pectin, typically.
No, it's not sugar-free. It's just a lower amount of sugar relative to regular pectin.
A substantially lower amount of sugar. Yeah. Especially
four cups versus about half a cup of honey.
There's SureGel is another product out there, but that's still like twice the amount of sugar compared to what you can do with
Pomona. Angie's got something she does with the fruits, no sugar.
So she's probably using a naturally occurring
pectin. I know, but it goes for the bath and in the hot boiling water, so it's safe. And it's blueberry, so it doesn't last too long.
All this talk of food is getting me hungry here.
Well, tis breakfast.
Tis breakfast. Yeah. Well, I mean, this could be a great year to plant a garden and think about,
stuff.
Working with your kids and starting seeds. And
is a lot of your information on the UC website?
It is. It is on our local Humboldt County UC Cooperative Extension website for Master Food Preservers.
Look for Dorina. Thanks for coming by, ladies.
Oh, thanks.
See you tomorrow.